Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Heart to Heart edition. Here's your host for today, Paul Galoro.
I was racking my brain trying to write the intro for today's guest, and after staring at a blank page for what felt like days, I pulled out the workbook I received in her creativity and critical thinking workshop, and I practiced a few of the brain activities. Now, to be honest, it was only last week that my therapist said I was describing symptoms of adult ADHD, and although it isn't exactly diagnosed, he did recommend I do some work around accepting this idea to see if it will bring about a change in my behavior. So here I am accepting the possibility that there may be some ADHD tendencies in there, and I can't exactly remember why I'm telling you all of this, but here I am welcoming today's guest to the podcast. Jill Hewlett is a nationally recognized speaker, author, brain fitness expert, and wellness authority. Combining user-friendly neuroscience and inspired common sense strategies, Jill draws out the natural leadership, resources, and resilience in individuals and organizations to support them in reducing stress and achieving greater levels of productivity, wellness, and success. In her keynotes and training sessions, participants are equipped with information, motivation, and tools to proactively build a fit brain and a fit life. But here's a few fun facts of today's guest that I just love. She's also a Leo, and we have a mutual friend. Her bestie is my astrologer and dear friend, Crystal Eves. Listeners, you know Crystal. She's our resident astrologer on the Living Spiritfully podcast. And Jill and I finally connected in person this year at CanFit Pro's global conference in Toronto this past August. Please welcome to the show, Jill Hewlett. Jill, I love you, and I'm so happy that you're here.
Oh, wow, Paul, that's an amazing introduction. Thank you so much. And I've been looking very, very forward to this conversation. It's a delight to know you now and to spend this time with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Honestly, as we mentioned earlier, or well, you and I were talking before we hit record, I've been seeing your stuff rolling around CanFit Pro for a while, and I think we were even part of a similar event, a virtual event that was happening around mental health. But it wasn't until this year that I actually had a chance to attend one of your sessions. I loved your creativity and critical thinking workshop that you did a couple weeks ago. Listeners, in the show's notes, you're going to see how to get in touch with Jill. Go check it out. It's available on your website still, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely.
It is so good. As a fitness professional, but then also as somebody that has a brain, I think it's very important information for people to know. We don't get a manual for this thing in our head. And what I feel like what you created was something for that, for us to understand ourselves a little better.
Oh, that's amazing. So well said. That's exactly it. Like learning about ourselves and how we function, in particular our brain, like the CEO of our life, the head honcho up here. Like, yeah. What? There's no time better spent, in my opinion. And the cool thing is, Paul, and what I think you noticed, and so grateful we finally met in person after all these, like, these indicators that it was going to happen, it was just a matter of when, is that, you know, people are looking for ways to do it in simple and effective and accessible ways. And that's possible now. And that's what you kind of referred to as like the user guide for your brain and your life. And I don't have it all figured out, but I'll tell you the things that I've learned in my training and on my path and working with the clients I work with, I keep pouring it into these resources because I want others to have it too. It makes such a difference, and it's fun to learn about. It is so much fun to learn about.
It is. You know, I love that we're both Leos, because what you described is basically one of the reasons why I do what I do, is because I found it. It works for me. I love it. And now I want to share it with the world.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been my life path. I mean, people will say to me, how did you get into this? What brought you to creating this brain fitness program? And I, if you're open to it, I'd love to share version of that story. Okay. So basically I grew up with my parents owning a sporting goods store. And so my sisters and I, my mom and dad, we lived in the back of the store for several years, actually, for a long period of time. And so we had lots of opportunity to come into the store, play with the equipment, try on the fitness clothes, be in that kind of health, fitness energy. And it was kind of inevitable that we'd start to get involved with activities and sports too, because my dad wanted to coach us. And so it was just part of my upbringing. And I almost took it for granted, actually. By the time I was in high school, I worked at the store part-time. I was the girls' athletic rep. And it was just such an important and big part of my life. When I went to university with the plan to become an educator, a school teacher, I was so busy with my studies, with maintaining my life, doing my laundry, buying my groceries, all the things that I was doing as an independent young adult at that time, that I started to put fitness aside. It was like, I didn't have time for it. And that was a really, that was an important lesson for me, because my energy was had dropped. I was gaining weight. I just didn't feel myself in my body. I was couldn't focus as well. I just wasn't being as productive. And I didn't have the same zest or positivity. And I couldn't, at first I didn't know what it was. And then I realized, you know, you need to get active again. You need to, you know, get out those running shoes. You need to go to the gym. You need to go out on your bike and for runs. And no sooner did I start being active again in that way, I started to notice a whole shift in my demeanor. It wasn't just the physical, it was the mental and the emotional as well. And this was like my own personal experience. And in a way, it catapulted me into the direction I ultimately went, because from that point on, I just spent a portion of my university time at the gym, at the wellness center, being active. And I came to realize by the time I graduated from McMaster, that rather than applying to teacher's college, I really, my passion was in the health and wellness field. And and that just, that's the direction I went. And it wasn't too long after that that I discovered the field of educational kinesiology, which is all about learning and living through awareness, movement, integrative approaches to our brain and body, so that we're not living like neck up or separate or disconnected. We're living in a holistic way. And that ripples out into such positive results in the classroom, in the workplace, and in daily life. The applications are really endless. But when a person realizes that interconnection and starts to leverage it, and rather than being disconnected from it, all of a sudden they feel better, they think better, their health improves. It's just, it's amazing. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. Again, the parallels between your life and my life, very similar. I mean, we can get into that, but this is why we're soulmates. Yes. And I'm so happy that you're here. But Jill, as we start with every conversation goes on the Heart to Heart podcast, I always start with the one question, and then it leads us into wherever this conversation will take us. So, my love, how is your heart?
So nice to be asked that. You know, how often do we kind of ask someone how they're doing, but it's kind of like, I'm good, I'm okay. And then but when you ask specifically how someone's heart is doing, it really, it allows us to tune inward and kind of check in with that. So, I mean, it kind of goes without saying right now, my heart's really jazzed. I'm delighted to be on this podcast with you, having this conversation with a like mind, a new dear friend, and someone that we enjoy speaking about the same things. I mean, that's just so rewarding, because I could talk about this nonstop 24/7. So to be with someone who can meet me in that space, is an absolute joy and delight.
Oh, I love that. This came up in conversation in Arise after the Arise practice. We have the Sunrise Social, and Jackie asked the question about our nerdiness. And when she said that, I was like, oh my God, I love that. Because one of the things that I love is having these deep, nerdy conversations. And what Jackie was saying is like, we can't talk shop with just anybody. You have to have the right people to be. I can't go out in the street and start talking about brain stuff or nervous system regulation or whole body health and what. Like, it's not on the forefront of everybody's mind. But like, you and I have made a career out of it. But beyond that, it's like, It's literally like it's all I think about all the time. So that's another reason why I'm jazzed about being in this conversation with you is because like I can talk and not have to like explain first and then say what I want to say. You know what I mean?
Yes, you're understood and it's felt. Your
Yes.
felt sense is connecting to it. It's different when we're just talking, sharing information back and forth, like depositing or regurgitating information to another person. It's different when we're actually in that place of resonance and connection. And you feel there's it lands and it changes us. Like learned information can truly transform us when we allow it to get to really go within. But we need to do that, we need to ask those deeper questions. We need to go beyond the surface level, right? We need to feel safe, like all those important things, so that we can really have meaningful and transformative conversations. And that's what I have when I talk with you. So that's great.
Now, one of the first questions that I asked you back when we had our first chat after meeting at CanFit Pro was something because you've mentioned heart math in your courses and in your workshops. I'm currently taking the Resilient Heart course from Heart Math. I love it. But I remember one of the first questions that I asked you because I had heard it before and I've known this, but I don't know if you remember me asking this question, how the brain has a lower frequency than the heart.
Yes,
Do you remember that?
exactly.
So I mean, I've talked about it a lot just in my classes and stuff, so I'm sure listeners are familiar with me saying this, but I would love for a brain fitness expert to give us your take on what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So first of all, our brain, let's start there, is an electrical unit. It has enough electrical energy to power up a low watt light bulb, which is so cool. So you can imagine like this light coming from your head kind of thing, but it only goes up so far, a few inches. Okay. And that is nothing compared to the electromagnetic field of the heart, which goes out about 6 feet. And so the energy that's emitted from our heart is more likely to be felt by the person near us, around us, than the people than our thoughts. So if you really want to encourage someone or make them feel good, saying something is nice, that can be helpful. Thinking positive thoughts, sure, that's good for sure. But feel positive energy. Go in your heart and feel confidence or courage or joy or calm and peace. And that will be emitted and that will be received because it is just so much more powerful. And on top of it, I would just add in from a neuro perspective, we have neurons in our heart. We have 86 billion neurons in our brain, 10 of them. We also have neurons in our gut. It's considered our second brain, that gut instinct. And we also have neurons in our heart, a significant number, and more messages go from our gut and our heart up to our brain than the other way around.
Oh,
So, yeah,
I
so
love
the
that.
we are being, if we allow ourselves, which we need to do is listen to our gut instinct, listen to those whispers, those nudges, those messages from our heart, because ultimately it doesn't work when we don't. That's the direction of the flow.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I love that we're going to just dive right into this because that is similar to something that you mentioned before, before we hit record. You were talking about how you were following your heart and then your brain was figuring it out as you were going along, which I love because I've always felt that in my being. Just like I get this like knowingness in my heart, then like I never thought of it this way, that the information gets sent up to the brain to then sort it out. But I love that. But can we dive into that a little bit more? Can you explain that a little bit to me, like how that's happening in your life or how that has happened in your life where you get this heart sense and then it just kind of filters up or gut heart sense that gets filtered up to your brain to then make stuff happen.
Yes, for sure. And examples are always useful. I mean, our brain and our being relates best to stories. Like examples, right? But stories are so powerful. We go into this brain coupling mode when someone's listening to a story, a narrative, because it's something that we can typically our brain loves to predict things. So as we're listening to a story, it's good when there's twists and turns because it keeps us engaged, right? But it's kind of, there's also typically some sort of rhythm and connection points where it's like, I knew that was coming, or, oh, isn't that cool kind of thing, right? So yeah, so stories and examples are great. And I would be happy to share an example and on my story. Also, I would like to mention that there is a quote that I was telling you too when we were preparing for this chat. And it was one of my favorite quotes by Dr. Joseph Chilton Pierce. And I'm not going to say it verbatim, but the gist of it is, to the brain, anything is possible. To our heart, it's what's most timely and appropriate. Okay. I'm like, wow, right? We really let that settle in. Like, to our brain, anything's possible. To our heart, what's most timely and appropriate? And that guidance is key, because the reality is we need to make choices. We can't do everything. You know, we can't be going nonstop. And so it's our heart that can discern and can help us and formulate and guide us. So on that note, I will also mention that, to remind people that our biggest organ is our skin. And we're constantly, through our sensory system, think of our hands, that just through touch and through food and through even as we talk, our sensory system is communicating and gathering information. And that information comes in, it goes through our nervous system up to our brain. And then our brain then, based on all sorts of factors, will take it in, we'll integrate it, we'll dismiss some of it, we'll store some of it, we'll act upon it. All these things will happen. And that will be ultimately how we constantly do this dance of life, right? This engagement with other people, with the environments we're in, with the activities we're part of. So first of all, like, it's not just like, that's why this whole neck up philosophy, or I don't know, limited way of thinking that many of us were brought up in, doesn't make any sense. Because not only are we getting all these messages from our heart up to our brain, our body is constantly gathering the information. Like, our skin even has scent detectors, not just our nose, but our skin can smell. Oh, like, wow. There's so many cool things to know about how we gather information, and then we then interpret it in our brain, right? Because we've got these filters and belief systems and values and things like that. So I wanted to say that to give a little bit more of the picture. So having said all that, for myself, once I decided to, after I completed university, to not continue on to teacher's college, once I had my degree, I decided, you know what, I'm going to get onto this wellness path. But I didn't know what that was going to look like. I mean, I knew the direction. I knew what my heart was saying. This is the direction you need to go. Mm-hmm. And I knew, because my heart was saying this, my body found it effortless. I had the energy. I had the wherewithal, because my body's like, I'm ready. Like, I'm totally ready. And then the brain, our brain often wants, well, what's the game plan? And there can be a lot of pressure if people around us are like, what's your plan? Mm-hmm. What's it going to look like? How are you going to pay the bills? What do you, like, you know what I mean? Like, these questions, it's almost like you're now back in school answering it, but now it's a life test. Mm-hmm. You know, do I have everything figured out? Am I going to get the answers right? Am I going to pass? So it can be hard. And so, you know, we do, what I found worked for me is that, definitely when I came out of school, I needed to work, but I because I needed to pay off some of my student loan, right. And I just needed to pay for things, my rent, my car and whatnot. So I did get a job, but I put it into the perspective that this corporate kind of entry-level job kind of thing was a means to an ends. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still listening to my heart. And then all the time around that, I am now taking workshops, reading books, in a sense, going back to school, right? And going into what made sense to me and what that was going to look like as far as leading me to creating my own brain fitness programs, I wouldn't have known then. So if I tried to figure it out and put that pressure, it would have been far too premature. Mm-hmm. I would have missed so many steps, because what needed to happen is I needed to live into what my heart was telling me. And that led to all sorts of cool travels and hosting and producing a wellness TV show and starting a holistic networking group and the women's monthly women's wellness circles and ultimately becoming a licensed, fully licensed in educational kinesiology and brain gym, and then getting training in other modalities that were complementary to it. And all these things, all these things. And what I find, and others may be listening to this, and Paul, you can probably relate, that the heart is very integrative. The heart is very inclusive. Mm-hmm. We find commonality. We find common points of interest. We find connection in the heart as much as things can be polar opposite. And what I found is I was on this journey, my heart was integrating it all. And so I finally got to a place, you know, I became a mom. I have a daughter and I started doing this thing called Heart Art. And a lot of this is on my website if people want to check it out. And it's like all these things were happening and I'm following my heart. And so the Heart Art kind of was a symbolic of that, because that was when I had moved to the city, had my daughter. And now it was like starting in the early stages, in my early 30s, how am I packaging this all? Mm. And this was into my mid 30s. And then by the time I became 40, so it took a little while, not that I'm not building my business and working in the meantime, but mm-hmm. by the time I became 40, which is over a decade ago now, I started to understand how to package this, but I would have not known how to do that before. I don't know. That's a story. Yeah. Maybe you want to extrapolate some things from it. There's, I'm sure, insights that would, different insights depending on how a person's listening to this or interpreting it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So many insights there. So going back to what you had said about, like, you know, following your heart, but then having those people in the back that, how are you going to do this? How are you going to make your money? What's your plan? I had that. And I was at an age, because I didn't have anybody else around me, that I got swept up in all of those beliefs. Cause I thought, well, that's what I have to do. Even though I was fine. I was working, I was doing all the things, but there was all these things that my heart wanted me to do. But I had all these voices like, you know, you got to make it like this. You got to make this much money. You got to do it like that. You got to get the car. You got to do all of those, you know? And then there was a point where I lost the communication to my heart. I wasn't able to hear it anymore because I was just so much in my head. Like, yeah, okay, I felt it. And then boom, went straight to the head and now try to figure it out. But it wasn't until, like, it was in my mid 30s that I was like, okay, I can't, like, I just felt like I was drowning in all of the everybody else's stuff, that my heart was just screaming at me, that led me to close my yoga studio, sell all my stuff and go travel the world. Cause I was like, I actually remember, and you had said this and it made me think with your travels and stuff. When I was traveling, I said to myself, okay, girl, if you are telling everybody to trust the universe, you got to do that yourself. So you're going to follow your heart and you're going to listen to the universe on your travels. And that's where all the integration was happening. So it was a lot of data collecting. I integrated it and then I came back and I'm like, okay, now I feel like I have the integration to then move forward. As I was ready to move forward, pandemic hit. And so that kind of sidetracked things. But here we are now, and I feel so much more now that I'm in a place where I can just listen to my heart. I hear the other things, but I'm not focused on them. I'm hearing them and I'm letting them be. That's where a lot of my yoga practice came, where, you know, I notice the thoughts, but I don't attach to them, which now led me. And now more and more, as I listen to my heart, things come out of me that, like, Arise was something that I kind of felt for a while, but it wasn't until I gave myself the space to let it be that it actually came out and I felt it. You know what I mean? Like it was flirting with my heart, or my heart was flirting with me. I don't know, but it was just like kind of feeling. And then all of a sudden I allowed it to take over me, and then boom, there it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, I'm got shivers and things you said there about, like, you hearing all those voices and beliefs and questions. And yeah, at the end of the day, we need to support ourselves and we can't just make decisions that don't have, you know, we have to have the balance, I guess, yes, is what I'm saying. There's the practical and then there's the creative, right? We talked a lot about the left, right brain and the creativity course. And, you know, you need a blend. Okay. So, because I find some people, when they just go chasing after their heart and they feel that that's true, then they found, like, there's no structure to hold them, right? But at the
Yes.
same time, when people are so focused on the structure and the safety and getting it right and doing it right, the heart gets left behind. So
Yeah.
it's like, how do we do both in kind of a tandem, in a way that we can accept and embrace and know that we're in the driver's seat, like our heart is always present. And I think that's key. And it made me think of, well, actually two things. The travel piece is like, I think when we travel, we just open ourselves to all sorts of amazing experiences, also opportunity to get unplugged from our daily life routine and our be exposed to different cultures and people and just environments that we wouldn't normally be in. So that our brain can actually like shift, like we can unplug from. Now we have to be careful when with all that learning, and the longer we travel and the more exotic and away from our typical life it is, the more that can have an impact, right? Because myelination, like our brain neuropathways can change neuroplasticity, but it requires repetition, consistent repetition, so that myelination can be laid down. And so a commitment to ourselves when we come back, like you said, you're continuing to listen to your heart. It was flirting with you and you knew it was there and reawakened and it was with you, and to make that commitment. So there's that. And the other thing, I was having a conversation with a lady once, and she had taken the road of being a stay-at-home mom. She had we met at the park. My daughter was quite young at the time. We were all at the park and parents get chatting with each other. And I'm talking to this mom and I just said, wow. And she homeschools them. And I said, wow, you went full on. Like, she said, oh, you know, it was a big decision, but I decided that, you know, I want to be there with my kids, and homeschooling was the way to go. And because I think we were at the park at a different time than I would think the older kids would be able to be there if they were in school, I think something like that. So they have more flexibility and it worked for them. I said, well, that's amazing. She said, yeah, you know, she said, but it's always a trade-off. She's because I have four, there's four of them. She has three other sisters, and two of them chose to be moms and have kids and really invest into their families and be the on the home front. She's there. Her other two sisters decided not to have kids and follow their corporate jobs and career path and are very successful. And all of them are successful in their own right. It's just the ones who went the one direction feel like they're missing out in the family and the children. The ones who stayed home don't know what it's like to excel and develop their skills in out in the world on their own. And so I think the thing comes down to is that she said what she believes is everything's timing, and that you can have everything, just not all at once. She's looking forward to what she's her heart, keeping her heart open to what she's going to do next when the kids are old enough, you know, to be. And then, so she's already thinking in herself, and it's so important to keep hobbies and interests alive. So, because when you give yourself completely to a job or completely to your family or completely to your partner or whoever else, and you forget what's important to you, and all of a sudden they're gone, or she's an empty nester, or maybe their sisters realize they're still young enough to have kids or they want to adopt kids or whatever. You keep that self-awareness alive. You keep that connection to your heart alive. And there's many different ways we could talk about ways to do that. But I think it's so key, because then there's not the resentment. You could tell she loved being a mom and there with her kids. She just could tell that she could see the mirror of her siblings who were out there, who had a very different life. And I think when it comes to that, I think with women these days, and I'm sure men as well, there's just this whole experience of, you know, moms who are at trying to run the household, trying to be there for their kids, also trying to work full time. And it's, you know what it is? It's a recipe for stress and overwhelm. So you're just like, go, go, go. And a lot of people are saying their life is like a blur. And in the words of Dr. Dennison, the founder of Brain Gym, I've referred to him already, amazing individual. He says, if you just rush through life, if life's a blur, then why bother living it? Life's to be enjoyed. Life's to be present to. Life is the learning. Life is the experience. So when you're just rushing by it, what are you doing? So, and then that's when I, you know, for our topic, that's bringing back connecting to the heart.
Oh my gosh, there is so much there because I love what you said about the way I interpret it is holding the possibilities of our heart, even when we're not able to be with them. All the while that I was going through the time where I was in my head trying to make everything happen, this one little, idea that I had that I was supposed to make this big, life. Sustaining life supporting venture when there was all these things that my heart wanted to do. It was always keeping the possibilities open in my heart that then led me to have this space for it because I can, it's like a plant, I think, our connection to our heart, it's our relationship with our heart and our heart energy. If we make time for it, it's going to thrive. And even if we're not acting on it now, we're still connected to it that when there is the space to pour in all of our energy, it's just going to, thrive. But it's keeping that connection because the second we lose it, I mean, it's not hard to get back there, but it can be a challenge when you're getting swept up in all the other things. Because it's like, it's the whisper of the heart, but it's the screaming of the mind. And we can easily lose that connection
Yes.
or the lose our ability to hear that whisper if all we're doing is focusing on our mind.
That's exactly it. It's like we get distracted by this screaming, but it's the consistent, gentle whisper that, and it's really about taking the time to listen, whether it's through
Yes.
meditation, walks in nature, sitting in a bath, going for a massage, having a coach, a life coach who helps bring you back in, like a counselor or therapist, that type of person, having friends who keep us accountable. Like there are many different things. Journaling's a wonderful thing. Like, asking ourselves the questions, if money wasn't an object, what would I do? If I didn't have these responsibilities on my plate right now, what would I do? And sometimes people say, I don't know. But okay, then you ask the question, what don't you want to do? And you start to take off. So, well, if you don't want to do that, it's probably the opposite then is what you do want to do. What would the opposite of that look like? Do you know, and there's ways to like go by the layers and pare it back and ultimately get closer to our truth. And our truths are always, I believe, evolving and changing based on all sorts of factors, situational things, time periods in our life, our age, all sorts of things. But there's some inherent things that I think and values and principles that are so true to our heart, our core, that we must listen to. Like it will guide us and everyone benefits.
Okay, so this question just popped into my mind. Something is nudging me to ask you if you have any hacks isn't the right word, and I don't even like this word, but do you have any tips or pointers or something to do to kind of bypass the brain when it's screaming at us and sink into the heart?
Yeah, let's do something right now. We'll do this. It's a kind of a combination. It's part of a brain gym technique and something that I've created myself. So it's a combo activity. And to me, it's wonderful. It gets us back into our heart center, reconnected to our body, and it also is grounding. So I would invite a person, if they're standing, then their feet are already on the ground. But if they're seated, bring their feet flat to the ground and then just adjust the posture. Don't force it, but just get comfortable, but also more upright so the energy can flow freely and it'll better for breathing. And then we're just going to rub our hands together to create some warmth. And you can imagine like the sparks flying of the energy of the left and the right brain, electricity activated, and the left and right sides of our body coming together in this midline. And then what we're going to do is just slow it down because that will going from faster to slow. We might start to notice our breathing change. So we're feeling that nice sensory experience and that tactile benefit of the palm to palm, which we have, oh my gosh, thousands and thousands of sensors on our hands. And then once we do that, then what we're going to do is we're going to take these hands and we're going to open them on either side of us. So our arms are stretched out to either side, palms slightly up, slightly turned in. And just relax the shoulders. Do some nice breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth. And just for a moment, tune into your heart and think, how is my heart feeling? Just ask, how are you doing, heart? Just, you know, notice what comes up. No judgment, just being curious. Like your question at the beginning, Paul, you know, how's your heart doing? And even unsure or anything like that is fine. Whatever it is, typically there's a shift when we kind of tune into what's going on there. Some more deep breaths, and then gradually bring your hands together slowly. There's no race here. You're gradually yoking back into that midline to the point when your fingertips will touch, and just the fingertips we'll start with. Relaxing our shoulders, nice deep breaths. And then bringing hands together fully after we've touched the fingers, palm to palm. Continuing with the deep breathing, bringing those hands into the chest and then clasping them so fingers are interlaced. And then smiling. And hands to your lap or to your desk or whatever's comfortable. And there we go.
Okay. I was super excited the entire time we were doing that. I love that. And I'm going to incorporate that into my yoga classes more because that is beautiful. It's very, So when I start and end a yoga practice, I usually have people come in, we call it Eagle Mudra, where your left hand comes closest to your body, right in front. You link your thumbs together. And then I place this right on our heart so we can feel our heartbeat. Because the second we can bring our awareness to our heart and feel our heartbeat, that instantly connects us to that higher vibration, that higher frequency. When I was doing that, once we started to slow down, and even with my hands out to the side, I could literally hear my heartbeat in my ears. And yes, I've got headphones on right now, but like I was feeling it and hearing it. I was like, whoa, I feel it by doing this, but not when I'm out like this. So then I got into that. I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. So the whole time I'm there, I'm like, this is so cool. I need everybody to know about this. I love that. And then to bring it all, it's almost like, if I can give you my kind of visualizing of it, it's like our awareness is outside of us with our hands out like this. And then as we slowly bring our hands closer together, we bring our awareness back into us. And that's when I'm like, it was even more that I was hearing my heartbeat when we came together and then clasping the hands. So now we got right and left brain. Oh, brilliant. I love that. And really, like, I do feel an energetic shift in me right now.
Well, you know, I'm so grateful to hear this feedback, and you're so in tune. I mean, you're sensitive, you're aware, and that's amazing feedback. When you do an activity like this, like a little can go such a long way. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, when we recognize we're overwhelmed or stressed, we need to do something. We can't just keep pushing through, right? Because it's just like, it's going to be like a snowball, just gets bigger. Mm-hmm. And then we create these fault lines too, that we can like trip over because we've got this unresolved emotions and issues. So stopping to, you know, reconnect and get calm again and centered, just simply breathing and putting the feet to the ground is great. Yeah. Then you throw in some sensory experience of all these sensory points on the hands, and then the warmth and creating that left, right brain connection through the hands, and then slowing it down, being intentional. And then brilliant, when you opened your arms up, you know, you're feeling the energy, and by bringing it in, we're collecting ourselves back into that midline. It's like we're open to it all. Heart, how are you doing? And bringing it in to be like, reconnect, you know, we're safe, we're connected, we're aligned, right? And that alignment then allows us to be like body, heart, mind, which are the three main dimensions of Brain Gym, actually. So as much as it's called Brain Gym, and, you know, my program's Brain Fitness, it's about the whole self. It's about the emotional intelligence, the physical mm-hmm. intelligence as well.
Yeah. Well, the different layers of the brain include the emotional brain, the thinking brain, etc. So it makes sense that it would have to be a holistic approach, a whole body approach. And that's like, I have to say, in the beginning, before meeting you, and I'm talking like early on in my journey, I was always like, brain gym or brain fitness. It never really made sense to me because I was like, oh, I'm all about the body, I'm all about the heart. But then learning more about the brain, and also as a trauma-informed yoga therapist, it's like, oh yeah, of course, we need to know what's going on there, because a lot of times, our brain does stuff that we're not aware of, and we don't even realize that we're caught in the loop of the brain, that we have to do these things to break that.
Oh yeah, and by the way, can I throw in one of my favorite lines to use, especially with fitness people, and you all are CanFit Pro friends, and those members who are part of this in such important industry, because we are using the body we have to get the brain we want. So I say to people, you know, through brain fitness, that's my main message. Use the body you have to get the brain you want. And of course, that includes the heart. So it's really empowering to realize that as fitness instructors, yoga instructors, dance instructors, you're already doing it. Now with all this amazing neuroscience research, we can learn how and why it works. And then we can build on that and become even more skilled at it, more empowered by it, and see even more results.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I love that. And I love your enthusiasm for that, because I feel like we need more of it. It's just so, it's so amazing. Honestly, I love you and I love the work that you're doing. And I want so many more people to be doing this, because I think there's so many great ways, like as a fitness instructor and as a yoga teacher, and I mentioned this to you before we hit record, I see so many ways, the stuff that you talked about, even like in just the creativity and critical thinking, like that was great for me for life, but also within that workshop alone, there's so much that I can use to integrate into my fitness experiences and my yoga experiences to help people be more well-rounded. I think, you know, and no tea, no shade, but like in fitness, people can get into their like, people only want to do this type of movement or only that type of workout or only yoga or only Pilates, but we need to understand the brain and bring it all together, because then it also expands our opportunity for other forms of movement and other things that are going to help us become more focused and connect to our heart, because ultimately that's what it is.
Oh my gosh, yes. And we're at a time when the world needs this, and this movement is medicine, but also using it with, like we said, intention and more awareness and more well-rounded applications, it just, the ripples can go in even more directions and affect us, benefit people in even more ways. And it's, the time is now. I think, yes. I really do think it's, we're at the cutting edge of this, the world needs it. And I'm so excited to be part of it. And I'm grateful for this conversation to allow me to touch more people with these concepts and possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm definitely going to be taking more of your workshops, because honestly, brilliant. Plus, you get the CECs for CanFit Pro. So you're continuing education but learning so much. And I cannot stress it enough. And so I hope that people can feel this, especially when they come into my experiences, feel the effects that understanding the brain and doing this type of work has on our whole being, because it is definitely going to make this world a better place. And that's why we're here. So Jill, we are going to get into our lightning round soon, but before I do, is there anything else that you want to share or express, or you think is really important for our listeners to know, related to brain health, or anything that your heart wants to share with our listeners?
Well, yeah, you know what? I say, a lot of people who come to learn about this, they are typically wanting to share it with others to help their child, or to bring it into their classroom, or to bring it to their corporate team, just to help their staff or their students or their families improve. And that's amazing, because those applications are real and they will have a positive effect. I'd like to say also, start with you. Start, try it on and start with you and really see and get a feel for these things. And I find that, you know, we can't step over ourselves. A lot of people who are gathering information are doing it to help others, which is wonderful. So commendable. Being of service is key. And try it on you. And because I feel like also when we share something from our own experience, we're that much more effective. Mm-hmm. And on that note, having said that, Paul, and you know too, which I'm so excited about, is this recent course that came out is one of the 9 precursor courses to enter the Brain Fitness Trainer Program. And that is coming out soon. I'm excited. It's in the works. And there is the train the trainer part that's going to be available for people and fully set up. And I'm so excited. And these other parts are stepping stones to getting there. And they're for anyone who likes what we've been referring to, the creativity and critical thinking course. Well, there's many other, the link will be there on the podcast. People can check out the other courses because there might be other topics or areas that's of interest to them as mm-hmm. well.
Absolutely. I will be taking more of those courses and also signing up for the Brain Fitness Trainer course when it's ready. So you already have me signed up for that. Just know that as soon as the link is available, I'm there. Because honestly, this work is brilliant and it's so applicable in so many ways, not just for fitness, but, you know, even because I'm in school right now as a getting my foundations in psychological astrology. There's even like, it's applicable to that as well, right? It's just, it's everything. So this is brilliant.
Well, everyone. You know, we need to do a shout out to Crystal because Crystal, when I came out of university, she was the one who recommended. She said, Jill, she had this intuition, you know, she's very intuned woman and she's so from the heart. And she said, I think you should look into educational kinesiology, this thing called Brain Gym. Because she had a session or a workshop or something. And that was for her for that time, but she wasn't going into it any further. She says, mm-hmm. I think you'll really like this. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was like so meant to be because I went for my first session and basically never looked back. And that has been the cornerstone in many ways of my personal and professional path, and which has led us to this conversation.
Absolutely.
So thank you. Thank you so much, Crystal. Thank you so much, Paul.
Oh my God, Jill, I love you. And just on the Crystal note, she also is the one that told me to go to the psychological astrology course. So like this woman is brilliant and everybody knows that already because they hear her on the podcast. Yes, so
she really is. And she's got great recommendations. You've got to listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But Jill, before we go, I just have 3 questions. Yes. Just answer straight from your heart. You can answer them however you'd like. So my first question is, what makes your heart sing?
Ah, well, the thing that comes to me first and foremost is my daughter. I just tear up. She's 18 years old now. And she has been in many ways my teacher since she came into my belly and best friend and truly just a joy. Like, I mean, and speaking of what makes your heart sing, I can't sing, but she can. I always say that she took all my singing cells, but I didn't have any before her either. So they skipped a generation or something, but she can sing. So yeah, literally and figuratively, she makes my heart sing.
Oh, I love that. And I met your daughter at Camp It Pro. She is amazing. Oh my gosh. I actually want to have a conversation about being like someone who knows so much about brains and then raising a child, but maybe we'll do that for part 2 of the podcast. But from what makes your heart sing now, what makes your heart heavy?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, so many, we can easily dwell on this. I don't want to be kind of focusing just on the obvious, but you know, I think it really is the thing that makes my heart heavy is what the world has been through for the past 3 years. And it doesn't seem to let up, does it? Like there's just like another crisis, something this, something that. It's just, it's a lot. And our brain is not designed to deal with constant stress, constant fear, it's chronic. It's the chronic degenerative negative impact that stress has. Mm-hmm. And so I just think the positive, of course, of that is that there are solutions and tools out there, and we're being, you know, we have resiliency and we have neuroplasticity and we learn things to mitigate it. That is great. But it does make me heavy to know how much people we've all in some way or form have been dealing with. And it's like, we're kind of in catch up mode. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like, kind of re-envisioning a world now where we are still kind of repairing too. So it's, I just think it's a lot. And I think that to pretend it's not, isn't helpful. And I think when we realize it's there, then we can breathe, be gentle and compassionate on our, with ourselves and others, and then go, okay, what's, listen to our, what's the next best, that's the next step to take, the next best step to take.
Thank you for that. And thank you for sharing that, because one of the things, and this is just like, you know, now this is the 24th heart to heart that I've had. Probably 27th, but I've stopped counting. But what every time I ask that question, one of the things that I know is that as we share these things that make our heart heavy, there's others there that help to bolster us and support us. And I think especially now as the world is going through the stuff that we're going through, there are people like you and I that are coming together to support each other, and then the listeners, and that ripples out to hopefully other people that maybe weren't there before can start to feel that support and then offer that support to someone else. And then it becomes like, I don't know, I have this picture of, you know, when you fold paper together and then you cut it out to shapes and then you pull it out and it's all these little stick figures holding hands. That's what I see.
That's a people snowflake.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Holding hands and making the world a better place.
Oh, what an amazing image. Yes.
Thank you. Our final question for you today, Jill, where is your heart leading you these days?
You know, the word that comes to me is integration. And what that would look like, I think, really, is on this journey as I've been collecting experiences and learning and sharing. I think I'm at a point right now where my heart is bringing together many different aspects of that. And I think that is what I'm excited about, is really pouring that into the Brain Fitness Trainer program, quite honestly, it really has been a journey to come to here. And when I, you know, like when I wake up on Mondays, I'm like, I am not stressed. I'm like, Monday, I get to work, but I work on the weekend too a lot of times. So what day of the week is it really? And then it's like when I'm going to bed, I'm like, oh, I mean, I love getting a good night's sleep and getting my comfortable bed. That's all awesome. But you know, I also am like, I can't wait for morning. Like, do we really have to sleep? And it's not like I'm a workaholic, but it's just that when you really enjoy what you're doing, you don't, it's like not about taking a break. If I wasn't doing it for work, it would be my full-time hobby. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So I think what that is, when I look at the direction, it's more of that, and it's pouring things in a really integrative way that can, that others can access and benefit from.
Oh my gosh. Jill, I love that. And I honestly cannot wait to learn more from you and to engage in more conversations like this with you. I love you. I love the work that you're doing. I think it's so important and so needed on so many levels, just on this planet right now. As you said, it's timely. It's very, very heart-centered. So thank you so much for all that you are and all that you're doing, and for being on the show.
Oh, you're such a gift, Paul. What an incredible conversation. I love you. I'm so grateful. And I can't wait to have our next conversation, which I'm sure will be soon.
Yes, absolutely. I love you, Jill. And listeners, next week we have on the podcast, Crystal Eves is going to be here talking about Capricorn season. And then we also have Dr. Patricia Rennie is going to talk about winter wellness. And of course, Jackie and I may be hitting the closer cards again. Not sure. We'll find out then. But thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
The Living Spiritfully podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.